title for my sermon is very related to ministry, what we are doing in Serbia. And it says, what does it mean to be an Orthodox Christian? And base for my sermon is taken from Romans chapter 12, first two verses, and I will read it from NIV. Romans 12, first two verses will be introduction or base for my sermon. Apostle Paul is writing these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I believe you heard these two verses many times, and also I believe you heard a lot of sermons on this topic. It's very popular, and I love it. I coming back to this text very often. We serve in a country where Serbian Orthodox Church is predominant. Church as church, it's Christian church, they are reading Bible, and we are happy for that. But when we are outside with Bibles, many people come to us and ask who we are. They are testing who we are. And we share that we planted the organization named the Logos Bible Society. Just for this reason, when people come and ask who we are, we may freely say, we don't want to go into the details, Protestant, Evangelicals, Baptist, just name it, what's any other evangelical church, because our goal is not to spread church denomination, but bring people to the Lord, and if there will be any obstacle in that path, we would like to eliminate that. We planted this organization, Logos Bible Society. People in Serbia respect Bible, holy book. And when they see holy book, they respect that. That's the Bible, period. No blaming. But some people are not satisfied with this simple answer. So, okay, you represent Logos Bible Society. That's organization. But what church are you from? Then we try, as Anna mentioned, we try to respond. Okay, we are Orthodox, but we are biblically Orthodox. So again, some of them are not very happy we did what it means, like that man asked, okay, explain what it means, biblical Orthodox. So in that moment, we choose opportunity to lead them through the biblical principle, what is actually to mean to be biblically Orthodox Christian. And this text, even it's not talking about orthodoxy, there is no even mention this word, but it's deeply rooted in this meaning. So at the end, I mean, at the beginning of my brief sermon, I would like to ask you and approach you, what do you think about yourself? Are you Orthodox Christian? Most people will say, okay, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Anglican, but when we go deeper into this text, we see, yes, we are Orthodox Christian if we are really, really believer. Paul is not talking about our church identity. What church are we going to? Or what church are we members? But Paul is talking about our relationship with the Lord. In the word Orthodox, we understand, or I would say in the secular or general terms of Orthodox, we understand beliefs, we understand ideas, we understand activities. It considered something traditional, something normal and acceptable by most people. And still we are not talking about religion. It's just Orthodox. Name Orthodox. So there are some Orthodox treatments in medicine, or method of healing people. There are some Orthodox views, just general views, Orthodox view or opinions. There are Orthodox approach to solve some problem or to bring an Orthodox solution. Again, we are still not talking about religion, just generally about Orthodox, what it means. And from Biblical Greek, we learn that the word orthodox consists from two words, two basic words, and that's the ortho and doxa. Ortho means origin, or true, or natural, and doxa means glory. In our church context, believers glorify the Lord, and we call that worship. We are coming together, and we are worshiping Lord. From that word evolved the word true worshiper, and we can equal this word with Orthodox Christian. True worshiper or Orthodox Christian. It's a beautiful term if reflects reality. Jesus used this word, true worshiper, in the conversation with Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John chapter 4. When he says, yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Holy, in the Spirit and in truth. For they are kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So let's go from the beginning of these two verses and see several of these portion or parts of the verse. First words that Paul used is, I urge you. I urge you. It's a word Paul used to make a point. In New Testament Greek, it was not used as a word in the form of order or authority, like police officer has authority when he stopped us. He has authority to ask question and to go further with his examination of our car. But this word, I urge you, is firm, but it's still very kind. It's not order, I urge you. Just imagine a friend walking to some dangerous place, and for some reason your friend doesn't see dangerous place where he's walking around. We don't know what. And you from the distance might see that he's in some dangerous place, and you shout on him, please stop. You are in dangerous place. Just please stop. Paul used this principle to remind believers in Rome about true worship. When you understand what God has done for you, just stop for a moment, think about it for a while, and see what I am doing and what your proper response to God's grace would be. So here is the Paul's word, I urge you, I urge you. This is a wake-up call. I urge you, brothers and sisters. So next word, it's view in view of God's mercy. God's grace is and salvation are active even now. It's not something that happened long time ago and affect our everyday life. When we know what God has done for us, we should stop and think and reflect. That's our reality. God, this salvation for me, and I need to think and reflect and meditate on it daily. This reflection should initiate our action, but not in terms we need to repay for our salvation. We do not possess anything that we can give back to God in terms that, oh Lord, I want to return to you something. We cannot do anything to equal his gift of salvation. When a young man finds a girl and marries her, he needs to change his lifestyle. If he continues to live as a bachelor, their marriage would be very soon a big disaster. It doesn't mean that he has to give up on his friends completely or his hobbies. Definitely not. But he needs to change his priorities. When a person experiences God's grace, the way of life changes. Value and priorities change. And Paul has revealed the secret of God's grace, and he expects his listeners to live after that grace. In next, Paul's words are, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. God created our body, our mind, and our soul. All three parts of us worship and wait on our Lord. And we are responsible for our bodies. They need to stay clean to be used as a living sacrifice to the Lord. The word offer, it's very, very unique. And this word relates to sacrificial terminology. But some other translations use this word in a different form and said to present, to offer or to present, which is, this word is very often used in military. Every morning, the soldier present his body, his uniform, his gun, everything what is on him had to be clean, tight, and he need to be ready to perform his duty. We are invited to be prepared, to be ready, to offer and to present our body to the Lord. And this readiness speaks of active waiting. We have to be ready all the time, not just at a certain time in the day. Whenever we bring a gift to a friend, we want that gift would be good condition. It be good representation of our heart when we are giving gift, that it's nice and valuable and something what our friend will remind of our close relationship. That's purpose of the gift. Not something broken. Same applies to our body. We want to stay clean. We want to stay godly. We want to present our body to the Lord. That's the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's living in us. We want to be ready to be in front of the Lord. Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, died for us and washed us with his blood. And this is all what we have to give to our Lord, ourselves, everything that is in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned. God does not dwell in impure things. We are responsible for our body before God and before church. We should take care of our body in all aspects because the Holy Spirit dwells in it. Beside this body, based on this body what we have right now, Apostle Paul said that we will receive a new glorified body. Our text says that this is our spiritual act of worship. All this what we talk about it, it's spiritual act of worship. But the New Testament Greek says that it is our logical or rational service. That's literal translation from New Testament Greek text. Our transformed and renewed mind is fully involved in this act of worship. It is logical when a person realizes what God has done for him, he surrenders to God with everything, with his body, with his mind, and his will. Believers willingly start to glorify their God. Nobody have to chase them. Come to church. Be united. Worship God. Everybody who understand the gift, what he received from the Lord, it's coming to the God together with other believers and worship Lord. Believers willingly start to glorify their God. And this is through worship. Everything else, what we are seeing in many other places, in Serbia, in here in Canada, and in the States as well, Christian do some worship. And that's mostly tradition. Could be Serbian tradition, could be Canadian tradition, could be American tradition, could be Mexican tradition, could be just name it, whatever, any other tradition, just some doing, some saying, some lifestyle, some way of whatever, it's just pure tradition if there is no substance. So if you are going back to our first question, are we Orthodox? If you are living according to life what Apostle Paul was describing, saying, if we worship our Lord, as Paul described as well, in this passage, we can honestly say we are Orthodox, even without stretching this word. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to do anything. Yes, we are true worshipers. That's actually meaning what Apostle Paul was saying here. So at the end of my brief sermon, I would like to just remind all of us and myself, please practice your orthodoxy every day. And may God bless you all. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we spent together. Thank you for the word you gave to us, and may the Holy Spirit work in us every day that we are ready to prepare and be ready to present our body, our soul, and our will to you. In your name we pray. Amen.